Will you take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 as we're finishing up our study tonight on spiritual warfare? Ephesians chapter 6. I want to begin reading in verse 18. Actually, let's go back to verse 10 again, just as we can go back through what we've already passed over and studied. And then we're going to read down through verse 24. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers and against authorities and against powers of this dark world and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Titius, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you may also know how I am and how I'm doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Let's pray. Father, I come to you tonight. And I thank you, Lord, for this study of being able to go through and see all the different parts that you give us, Lord, to be able to stand against the evil one and against the evil forces in this world. Your weapons are absolutely perfect because you're perfect. And you've given them to us, Lord, to wield and to use. And Lord, as we walk in you, we're able to stand against the evil one. Lord, help us to stay focused on the fact that we are yours. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, we are to glorify you in this mortal body. And I pray that we will, Lord. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, we're going to be looking at the final weapon. It's prayer, our mighty weapon. It's the mightiest weapon that we have. Knowing the Word of God and then praying are the two things that, on top of all the other things, will bring everything together and make us be able to stand against the evil one. When we look at prayer, it's the encompassing nature of prayer. In fact, it says, as we look again in verse 18, it says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests." This is just an admonition of Paul to all of us to just continually pray. You know, he'd already mentioned that that we ought to pray without ceasing. He's continuously telling us that even in all the letters that he would write to the different churches, he would start it out by saying how he had been praying for them. It is our mighty weapon. It is the thing that we need to continue to do on and on and on. We always need to keep on praying. We need to pray with conviction. In other words, we need to pray knowing that God is hearing us and that God is moving and that God will answer every prayer that we pray. Now, it may not be exactly how we think it ought to be answered, but we can have full assurance of this. That when we pray to God, He hears us, and He is in the process of moving. So we need to pray with conviction. And we need to pray with consistency. Praying is our communication with God. It's our ability for us to be able to commune with God and be in His presence, but not always just saying things. It's being in His presence and listening to Him. Prayer is a two-way street. But we need to continue to pray, consistently pray. And I believe we need to pray with passion. What I mean by that is, we don't need to just pray little bitty prayers. Lord, please bless our church. Keep us all safe. Yes, we want our church to be blessed, and we do want people to be safe. But we need to pray with passion. We need to pray especially pray with passion for the people that we know that needed to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We need to pray without ceasing. As Paul mentioned to the church at Thessalonica in chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing, continuously praying, being in the presence of God without leaving. That's what it means. You know, I wonder how many times we think, man, I need to pray about that. And so we begin to pray, and then we say amen, and then we go off and do our own thing. But the fact is that God wants us to continue to be in His presence and never leave. He wants us to stay there. We need to always keep on praying. Then he says this, pray, in verse 18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. On all occasions means when things are going great, praise Him. Be in prayer. Even when they aren't, praise Him. I mean, we need to be praying no matter where we are, what's going on, who's in front of us, who's behind us. We just need to be praying. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 say, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And what should you be doing in that trial? Suffering through it? Or should you be praying? Saying, God, what is it you want to show me? I know I need to hear something from you. I know I need to see something from you. And I want to learn, Lord, and I want to grow closer to the image of Christ every single day. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says this, do not be anxious about anything, but with every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So on all occasions, no matter if things are going great, things aren't going so good, no matter what, continuously be in prayer. And the way we ought to pray is Jeremiah 33:3 says, we need to call on God. Call on me, he says, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Now, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things I don't know. There's a lot of things I need to come to God with. And as I come to Him, He opens up His wisdom and His knowledge and allows us to see things through His Word and by the inspiration of His Holy Spirit as we continually stay in His presence. So pray in the Spirit on all occasions, the Scripture says. And then it goes on to say, with all kinds of prayers. Now you might say, well, are there a lot of different kinds of prayers? Well, specifically, the Scripture talks about some different kinds of prayers. First of all is petitions. You pray for help. In 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 20, it says, they were helped in fighting them, and God delivered the Haggites and all their allies into their hands because they cried out to Him during the battle. And He answered their prayers because they trusted in Him. Now, that honestly just tells us that if we need help, we call out to Him. I mean, there's no other helper that can help us like God can. We need to remember that we don't have to trust everybody else. We just need to trust God. And as we trust God, He will work out every situation that we're in. So praying for help, petitions to God. We also need to pray for wisdom. Again, in James chapter 1, a little bit later than what we just read a minute ago, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Now, I think that's interesting because there's a lot of people who you might think of who aren't very wise. Maybe you feel like you're not very wise. Sometimes I feel like I'm not very wise. But I think the bottom line is because I'm not doing what it says here. If I lack wisdom, I just need to ask of God. Because He's sitting there, literally it means He's waiting to give you the wisdom that you need. He's waiting to pour out His wisdom upon me if I'll just ask. And He's not going to just give me a little dot of wisdom. The Scripture says He's going to give it to me generously without looking at me and trying to find fault. And it will be given to you. That's what Scripture says. So pray for help. Pray for wisdom. Pray for discernment. Now, I find this is an incredibly important type of prayer because there's many times when I'm not sure exactly what I'm supposed to do in a certain situation. And I'm sure you face this on multiple occasions as well. Lord, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to go here? Are we supposed to buy this? Are we supposed to do this or whatever? And instead of just flipping a coin or just deciding because you want to, why don't you pray and ask for discernment from God, because He will give you discernment by His Holy Spirit. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 9 through 12 says, "So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this, so God said to him, "Since you've asked for this, and not long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you've asked, and I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be." Folks, I'm telling you know why Solomon got discernment? Because he asked for it. We need to ask for discernment to know what it is we're supposed to do or not do. For help, for wisdom, for discernment. How about praying for protection? Job chapter 1 verse 10 talks about this. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything that he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land." God can protect you, and He will protect you if you ask Him. Pray for faith. Sometimes we need more faith to be able to trust God and be able to walk in faith in our lives. James chapter 5. Again, James talks about this, verses 13 through 15. "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let him pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise." Another form of prayer, by the way. Praise is a form of prayer. "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call on the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up." I think a lot of people are sick because they don't ask for prayer. They don't trust God. They don't believe by faith. Now, it doesn't mean that anybody that's sick is going to stay sick or not sick because they do or don't pray. But I'm just saying we need to follow through with what God says in obedience. Pray for help. Pray for wisdom, discernment, protection. Pray for faith. And pray, I think this is an incredibly important one, because without forgiveness, we are lost. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." When you ask for forgiveness from God, He will forgive you. In fact, 1 John 1, 9 says, "If we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So as Paul is writing the church at Ephesus, he's saying, "Listen, folks, see how important prayer is? Prayer is the way that we commune with God." So he says, pray. Keep on praying on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. And then he says this and pray in the Spirit. Now, what is that? Well, let me first of all by saying what it's not. Praying in the Spirit is not religious prayers. The Pharisees prayed all the time. They prayed out loud so that everybody could hear them. They prayed all these important prayers. But when Jesus heard these prayers being uttered so that everybody else could hear them, he called them babbling. They weren't true prayers. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward already in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's in heaven. He's unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask Him. Recited prayers that do not involve a connection with God are not praying in the Spirit. That's what praying in the Spirit is not. But let me show you what it is. Praying in the Spirit is when Ephesians 5:18 is in place. We are connected, filled, and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Connected, filled, and controlled by the Holy Spirit. When you, and in fact, let me just go back to Ephesians 5:18 real quick and read this to you. It says this: Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. Now, filled means to the full. That means completely full. You probably try to pour something in a glass and it's getting close to the top, and you think there's a little bit left in the, I'm going to try to fill it, and you, it even runs over, right? But that's what it means, full. You say, I want to be full of God. I don't want to be full of me. I want to be full of God. I want to be in the place where it's all about Him and it's not about me at all. When Ephesians 5 is in place, we are connected to God, we are filled with God, and we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27 says this: In the same way, the Spirit helps us even in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. You know what, folks? Sometimes we don't even know what we ought to say, but we just know we ought to be in His presence. And we may not be able to speak audible words, but God knows our heart. And He knows where we are, and He knows what we need, and He knows exactly what we're feeling. And sometimes we don't even have to put it into words, because God knows everything anyway. So Paul says, pray on all occasions in the Spirit. And then he goes on and he lists out some things to pray for. He says, with this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the saints. Now, saints are not really just people that are very, very, very good, as some people think saints are. Saints are anybody that's saved because you've been sanctified. That's where the word saint comes from. You've been set apart for God's holy work. So we need to pray for the saints. Do you have a prayer list? Do you have a list of people that God's put on your heart that you want to pray for continuously? Are you part of a prayer chain so that as soon as you hear of an intercessory prayer that you can go and get in your closet or wherever you are, maybe you're driving down the road, maybe you're at work, but you can just pull aside and just begin to pray for that person? Do you set aside specific times to pray as you pray His word over your life, over your family, over your church? See, we can't any longer treat prayer as a three-time-a-day thing right before we eat.
That's not prayer.
Should we pray over meals? I think we should, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a connection with God that lasts all day long. And so maybe there's some times that you set aside, you unplug the phone, you turn your phone off, whatever else, and you want to just spend only time with God in His Word, listening to what He says to you. I don't know about you, but when I get into God's Word, and I pray before I begin to read it, and as I'm reading it, I'm also praying, God, is there something here you want to show me? Almost every single time I pray that, there's something that jumps off of the page into my heart and my mind, and God shows me something I never saw before. Because God's Word is alive. Pray His Word over your life. Pray His Word over your family by name. Pray His Word over this church and over the church of Jesus Christ in this world. Pray for all the saints. And then Paul says, and pray for me. You see, even people who are fighting the good fight need prayer. They need encouragement. They need strengthening by the Holy Spirit. They need help. Because we all fight the same battle of self. And sometimes when self gets hurt, and when self doesn't know exactly what to do, we fall back on self. Paul says, no, I don't want to do that. I want to continue to fight the good fight. Paul was being persecuted. Why? Because of Jesus. He was being persecuted by doing what he knew he was supposed to do. Paul was not only persecuted, he was mocked and ridiculed. People would call him names. They would curse him. They would throw things at him. They would lock him up in jail. They would beat him. All kinds of things would happen to Paul. And ultimately, he would be put to death for the cause of Christ. But Paul says, just pray for me. Please, just pray for me. See, it'd be a lot easier from our perspective to just do what we want to do and go our own way. But we know that's not what God will do in our lives. What He wants is all of us, our whole being. He said, pray for the saints, pray for me, that I may, not that I might live, not that I might make it through till tomorrow. Not that these wounds that I have on my body will heal. He wasn't asking for any of that. What he was asking for is so that I can continue to make known the gospel. So he's not interested in, is he going to be recognized? He's not interested in the fact that he could get out of jail. He just wants to keep being able to share the gospel. There's nothing more critical than to share the gospel, I believe with all my heart. The problem is that what we believe may not always translate into what we do. Paul translated it into what he did. Wherever he went, he preached the gospel. Whatever situation he was in, whether free or in jail, he was preaching the gospel. And then he goes on to make this statement, and I find it's really interesting as he says it, and pray for courage to speak. You see, even Paul had a hard time because he knew when he spoke these words, he was going to be, again, put in jail or beaten or whatever else. He knew it was going to happen. But by the power of the encourager, he could boldly proclaim the gospel wherever he was, to whoever there was. And then Paul asked this, and pray that the body of Christ may be encouraged. In other words, listen to this. Paul was not so centered on the fact that sooner or later he was going to die for his faith. What he was centered on was this, that the body of Christ might be encouraged by the fact that he was willing to tell people about Jesus. And so he sent the word back to them so they could be encouraged. You know, folks, we all need each other. We need the body of Christ. We need unity in the body. And ultimately, we all need prayer. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know you're here in the midst of us. I know that you're in the midst of every person that's tuning in right now. I know that you know our hearts. You know our names. You know everything about us. You created us. You put us together. You have a purpose and a plan for our lives. And Lord, you are absolutely connected to us by your Holy Spirit. And you want to do your work through us. So Lord, I pray that we will die to self, be made alive to you, moment by moment of every single day. Lord, with the weapons of our warfare, we are able to stand against the evil one and against the evil forces and all the authorities that stand up and mock the name of God. We can stand. And we can use the Word of God as our weapon. But our greatest weapon is being in connection with you. And that happens in prayer. In a continual conversation with the only one who really can do anything for us, and that's you. And you've done so much for us. I pray, Father, that we will walk in prayer, that we will live in prayer, that we'll go to sleep in prayer, we'll wake up in prayer, knowing that you're right here with us. And you're willing and able to do whatever we need. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. And I thank you most of all for Jesus. And I pray it in his name. Amen.